Number 22A.
We have seen this morning how Mrs. Eddy is very emphatic about telling us that we should not just wash evil under the carpet and say it's not there. Evil is nothing, and therefore why bother about it? When Mrs. Eddy's teaching is quite different. She never would say such a thing, but just on the contrary, she says, no, Christian Science is not just one-sided and denounce evil in a general way, just saying, well, evil has no power, evil does not exist, so why bother about evil? She says, no, actually, we should really find out the nothingness of evil. But we should really find out the nothingness of evil, and says that she has never really found a student who would understand this subject. And so we can see from that very statement that she really felt this is an important subject. So how do we therefore handle evil? It's not enough just to say that we should handle evil and that it is necessary, but we must also see how Mrs. Eddy would tackle that question. And in retrospection and introspection, she gives us a clue, namely where she says, it is often asked why Christian Science was revealed to me as one intelligence, analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating the false testimony of the physical senses. So she uses here really the scientific method that is used in all departments of science, namely, first to analyze the situation, and second to uncover what is to be uncovered so that it is brought from undercover to the surface. And then when one sees the problem, then one has a possibility to handle it and to annihilate it. So this method is going right through Mrs. Eddy's teaching that we must see that we use the right attitude for analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating. What is that right attitude? Naturally, not that we fall back on our human conception, on our human sense of what is right and wrong, what is really happening in a situation, and ask our human opinion about it, ask the psychiatrist, the psychologist, or experience, or anything like that. But really, we know now that we have to go out from mind that knows everything, that knows, can foresee and foretell everything, mind that perceives everything, for mind to which nothing is unknown, nothing is hidden to the divine mind, so that we go right back to that one mind and see that only actually the divine mind can analyze a situation properly. It's the only intelligence that can analyze a situation. So we see that we have to drop all our human opinions and human thinking about it and guesswork about it. It could be this or it could be that, so that we drop that and just sit back and look into the immensity of the divine mind and see that mind is the all mind, that it is all in all, therefore nothing can be hidden to this mind, that mind knows all and can see through all situation, so that is the divine intelligence. If you start out that way, that gives us the possibility really to uncover. Or before I say that, let's go back again to mind and see that we are aware that that mind can only see ideas, that mind cannot see an evil situation. So the analysis is that it analyzes mind. It does not analyze in the first go really a human, material, disharmonious situation. A mind can only know itself and therefore can only analyze itself as the ideas of mind. Then we can go and come to spirit and can see, well, this is what we have seen in mind, is the reality of things, is the reality of the universe of ideas, and these ideas constitute the only reality. Therefore, everything, now we come to the law of opposite, Therefore, everything that does not coincide with that reality must be of evil. Therefore, in this way, we uncover what is wrong. Through our knowledge of the ideas of God, we also know what are the counterfeits of God. We can separate and in this way uncover what is a false attitude, what is a false belief, what is a false influence, and everything like that. We can know the counterfeit sense of the divine ideas through the law of opposites. Again, Spirit only gives us the reality of it, but Spirit says, I'm the only, therefore everything that is not in line with Spirit must be evil. And so we uncover really what is evil. So it doesn't uncover the human situation itself, but it uncovers within our consciousness really what is of the nature of unreality, of the nature of counterfeit, of the nature of illusions. And in this way, we make a great separation, the separation of Spirit, the firmament of Spirit, which always separates between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. So in our consciousness, the more we purify our consciousness and look into the infinite realm of ideas, the more Spirit then sees the very claim of an opposite. What can be an opposite claim? Then we come to the point where we see, well, an opposite claim is not real, therefore it has to be annihilated. So soul comes along and says, I exchange now the false sense of things for the right sense of things. We know soul that is always exchanging the material beliefs for the ideas of soul. We know a soul as such which reverses really a false testimony of the physical senses, which can look away from the false sense of physical senses, can correct the false sense of the physical senses, and can through soul sense establish really the right idea, which means that the more I establish the right idea, the less a wrong concept finds room within my consciousness. And so the wrong concept begins to fade out and to fade away. So we have, from a very positive point of view, we have really that intelligence of God that analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates the false testimony of the physical senses. Again, we can see that this process of analysis, uncovering, and annihilation, which is a scientific process, is only possible when we have an understanding of the system. Without knowing what is God, we cannot know what is a counterfeit belief about God. Therefore, all depends again on that point of understanding, which we have seen is the pivotal point of the two translations. Everything hinges on how much we have cultured within our understanding that sense of the science of Christian Science. Therefore, we see that intelligence which can analyze a situation is that intelligence which really can understand the seven synonymous term for God, has a good tonality of the seven synonymous term of God, has a good tonality of the fourfold calculus of where Christ, Christianity, and science, that is innate within our spiritual consciousness, that we have a very good concept and sense of the four levels of science, so that we also can see quite rightly on which level really a situation is wrong and on which level really the situation that we analyze is really the main subject. Because something that appears on the level of absolute Christian Science may not be the same as that which appears on the level of Christian Science, because they have two altitudes of science, and therefore we must see that we analyze properly, that we know on which level of consciousness we are dealing with the situation, and therefore you know also that the practice of Christian Science is different if our consciousness is on the level of Christian Science than when it is on the level of absolute Christian Science, and again very different when it is on the level of divine science or science as such. I have, in a short way, just pinpointed this healing method in my booklet on what's it called? The Development of the Christian Science Idea, of the Christian Science Practice and Idea. And there I have touched on this question so that we are aware that according to where our consciousness is, we will deal with the subject quite differently. So that we don't try to heal on the level of science itself and we don't have the first faint idea and understanding, say, of the level of Christian Science. Then it's then trying to heal from the level of science itself or from divine science is highfalutin, it's up in the clouds, and it's mystic. And so we have to see that we always have a very good foundation for treatment. And the very first good foundation we almost first have is that level of Christian Science about which I speak here, which has that sense of analyzing and uncovering and annihilating what? The testimony of the physical senses. The moment I deal with the testimony of the physical senses, I know that my consciousness is on the level of Christian Science and not on the level of, say, divine science or science itself. There, the method is quite different. So, as we grow, naturally, we may grow into the level of absolute Christian Science, which is already quite an achievement, quite a spiritual development, and we may then really touch and handle a situation from the standpoint of life, truth, and love, and handle it right from that point. Whereas in Christian Science, we must first see that we can see the situation properly and rightly from the standpoint of mind, spirit, and soul. If we don't see that ever, then all the other levels of science are vague, they are mystical, they are hypothetical, they are up in the clouds, and they don't work. So our basis, our groundwork must be clear, must be secure, that we really see, that we have first to see that everything is based on mind, spirit, soul, as a nature of that divine principle. If we don't see that, then we still take consciously or unconsciously in our along with us the beliefs that we have to do with a mortal mind picture, that we have to do with a material picture, that we have to do with a physical sense testimony, and then we naturally cannot deal with the case properly. So let's just see that this intelligence of which Mrs. Eddy speaks is naturally the omniscience of the whole system. That the more we see the whole system, the clearer or the fuller we can fill our consciousness with those three great categories of being. And the more we can fill our consciousness with the three great categories of being, naturally, the more our consciousness has the same structure as the structure of the Infinite One, so that we are in agreement, in coincidence, in spiritual union with the structure of being itself, and then naturally we embrace the whole universe of ideas in a more natural way. But to begin with, we see that Christian Science, and Mrs. Eddy has given us a textbook of Christian Science and not of divine science, and certainly not a textbook on science itself, but as a first step and the first necessary step, we have that sense of having to understand first the categories of being and make that our own. So in this way we begin to look at the situation spiritually, because mind, spirit, and soul only see the spiritual universe, and only through the law of opposites the human understanding sees its counterfeit. And in this way, we can see that what happens as a problem is always only a misunderstanding of mind, spirit, and soul. If we would not have that misunderstanding of mind, spirit, soul, then we would have only the understanding of mind, spirit, soul, then there is no limit anymore for the demonstration and the demonstration of life, truth, and love. Because what we demonstrate is actually always life, truth, and love. We actually never demonstrate mind, spirit, soul. These are only the tools for demonstration. And without mind, spirit, soul, we cannot demonstrate life. We cannot demonstrate the victory over death, for instance, because death means that we believed that life is in mind, is in mortal mind, that life is in the body, in matter, that life is in a corporeal mortal. So mind, spirit, soul is not taken into consideration at that point. So we can never really overcome really death, because as long as we believe that life has been in matter, and that matter is a reality, that life is physically testifiable, then we believe in the opposite of soul, and so we cannot demonstrate it. You know how Mrs. Edith teaches that so nicely in the chapter on spiritualism, in the first part, at the point of life, where she talks about the resurrection of Lazarus, and she said, well, if Jesus would have believed that Lazarus had lived in matter and died in matter, he could not have resurrected him. He first had to correct that belief that life has ever been in matter. Well, that can only be corrected through spirit, through mind and spirit, and the testimony of soul. Only when we have corrected that, then Jesus could see that life has never been born into matter, never lived in matter, nor has died out of matter. And so in this way, he was able to do that. And then she says, that in the same vein, she said, and this is not only true of death, this is also true of disease and of every problem, that if we believe that disease has ever been in matter, that disease has ever been an outcome of mortal mind, then we have started wrongly, because there is no mortal mind, there is no spirit, no matter, there is no physical sense testimony. So we have to handle the mortal concept of a problem and have to analyze it through mind, capital M, through spirit, through soul. Yes. I'm glad Thus, we begin to see that we have to handle really the mortal concept of something first through analysis. If we analyze really the physical as physical, because we analyze from the point of view of mind that all is idea, and therefore the counterfeit cannot be right. So we analyze the counterfeit, the physical, as being unreal and therefore as mortality. Or when we come to that point and see, oh, the physical is only mortality, we like to get rid of that mortality, and so we begin to uncover the mortality as something we should have to get rid of. How to get rid of? And our thought begins to rise and get a higher sense of morality, so that we come to the second degree in that way, and see that second degree also has to give way to the third degree, to that which is of the nature of spirit, of reality, the standpoint of the spirit, of spiritual understanding. So this is the method that was shown through Mrs. Eddy, and give us that sense. Now, how can we go about in a practical way? In a practical way, John Dolly showed us something quite unique. He has try to handle, really, animal magnetism, as he said, right from the word go when he came into Christian Science and went into Christian Science practice, that he felt that evil has to be handled properly, because he read that in Mrs. Eddy's textbook, and he was always sticking to Mrs. Eddy's textbook. He never took another source as a source of learning or of teaching or of reasoning. And so he said, I began to handle really evil through the seven synonymous terms, through the word order, meaning that from the standpoint of the seven synonymous term, he could really analyze always the opposites of the seven synonymous terms. Through uncovering, he could see that the counterfeits of all the seven synonymous terms must be really that which is wrong, and therefore see that through the seven synonymous term he can establish really in the place of the wrong concept the right concept. He could exchange really through the soul and the reverse through soul the false concept for the right concept. Then he was telling us that, and then one year he came and said, suddenly, when he was handling evil in this way through the word order, he began to feel something is not quite as it should be. Namely, he felt that every time he went through the word order, he was building up really in his consciousness the point of perfection in consciousness, so that he had a perfect concept of mind, then a perfect concept of spirit, then a soul and principle, life, truth and love. And then suddenly, one day he said, I thought, well, perfection is perfection, therefore I should handle really the claim of evil from the point of view of perfection, and therefore from the top, so to say, from the point of view of love. That's the highest sense of perfection, where through the ascending word order he had seen the nothingness of the counterfeit, so that all the counterfeits of mind and of spirit were ousted out of his consciousness, the counterfeit of soul, principle, life, truth were ousted out of his consciousness, so that in love he felt, now I have really only the consciousness of the perfection of love, and that does not allow anything which is of the opposite nature. So he felt suddenly that he should really go out, when handling evil, out from love, and go the other way, the reversed way of the word order, namely out from love, where he had reached all the perfection of being, and see, looking down, so to say, from the housetop down. You see, Jesus also said, if you are on the housetop, never go down again, but you can look down at least, and say, well, if I look out from the perfection of love, I can see the perfection of truth, and therefore annihilate everything what is of the opposite nature of truth. I can look down to life and see the very opposite of life as not being true, as not being existent, and so to principle and see the opposites of it as annihilated, to look at soul and see the opposite as being annihilated in that perfection, looking down to spirit and see that the realities of being really have already annihilated, they don't know anything anymore about its opposite, and so the same with mind, to see that from the perfection of love you look at mind and one sees only the manifestation of mind where everything is destroyed that seemed to have a claim of the opposite of mind. So he called this really the inverse word order. The inverse word order. So the inverse word order has a different office than the word order. If we go along the word order from mind up to love, then the purpose of doing that is to, so to say, ascend in consciousness, to ascend and fill one's consciousness with mind, and then go further, higher up, and see that mind can only be mind if it is spirit, because it's the only mind. And so rise in the ladder of the world order, Jacob's ladder, going up and up and up, until at the point of love, all is annihilated, which needs to be annihilated. That all the opposite claims are being dealt with in our consciousness. And so we have a sense, well, everything is okay, everything is fine. So we have reached heaven, the Son of God that is in heaven. And now, if we have gone through that creative sense, which is the ascending sense, we can look down from the top of the house and see through the descending sense that everything is at the point of perfection, and therefore take the reverse order from love to truth to life, principle, soul, spirit, mind. It is an interesting thing that he did that out of his spiritual sense. That's always very marked in, very definite in John Dolly's discoveries, that he never tried to find out something, that always a new idea came to him, that it was always a revelation, inspiration, that it came to him without having asked for it, without asking, could I do something different now? How shall I do differently? No, it was always that by doing that which he knew was right and doing it over and over, something new would develop. See, it's like in Einstein's discovery that he said, I went over and over the law of Newton and was asking myself always again and again and again, is that Newton really touching on every aspect of it? And finally, he found out that he could think differently about Newton's law, that he had suddenly that vision as a still already as a college boy, that what would happen if I would sit on a line of light, and how would the world look like, and would Newton's theory be right if I would move with the speed of light? And so at that point, as the story goes, he began to see the relativity, the theory of relativity. What I want to say is, he too believed really in that rule that we have the seed within ourselves, that we do not have to try to look out for something new because we are fed up with the old or because something new should come. The rule is that the seed is within itself, that we should nurture that which we already know and love that which we already know, contemplate what we already know, really put all our value into it, our awe into it, so that we stand in wonderment before what we already know. And that is the seed that suddenly brings forth something new.